Grace to you and peace from God our Father, through our Lord and our Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Love. What is it? Well, that's what I hope to answer today, as long as I can do it. But we know what love isn't. It isn't selfish, the worldly love that is around us. You see, with the world being as selfish as it is, we find out what love isn't. Because when they say love, they mean something completely different than when it's used in our context as the church, or even as husband and wife for that matter. Yeah, we watched the movies, or we even did it ourselves, where we really didn't know that we loved anybody until we actually said that we loved them. I'm talking about you yourself. You didn't know that you loved them until you actually said it. Sorry, that's cute, but that's not love, true love in the end. It does contribute to it, don't get me wrong, but it has some place to come from. Because when the world says we conquer things through love, which I've heard on more than one occasion watching award shows and other things, what does the world mean? Well, what they mean is just let everyone do what they want, essentially, because they are who they are. We're not to tell anybody what to do. In fact, we are to let them choose their own reality and let them live that reality, even if it is harming themselves and others. You see, they don't want there to be any repercussions when they make a mistake or sin, for that matter. So in essence, what worldly love does is reject reality and objective truth. It doesn't want anything to do with that because it's about me, myself, and I. Now, I can also tell you what love is not. For the unfortunate events that have taken place in our country the past couple of weeks. Because, let's face it, abortion isn't love. It's self-love. It's selfishness. But you see, abortion denies the actual humanity of an unborn child. No matter where that person is along in their development, even those people are arguing that even after birth, we should be able to take take their life. Sorry about that. But that's not what life is about. And people have tried to argue, well, this is just a political thing. It's just an issue of politics. Except it's really an issue of morality and what is treasured in our world. Because abortion has brought evolution to its ultimate conclusion, where we assume that human life is worthless, like the rest of creation, at least what we call creation. Because even abortion says that children can be a mistake. Now, if this is true, we actually make God a liar. We are told that He knits us together. He crafts us together. Every child, be they of a believer or a non-believer, no matter if they are what is considered normal or not normal, if you can define that in the end, really let me know. It's still worth having joy over. Because God says it is so. Even in our Old Testament reading for today, we heard that God knew us, that He knew every single person ever born, ever conceived, I should say. He knew them. In such an intimate way. He knew your name. He knew what you were going to look like because He made you. And so again, what is true love then? Unfortunately, we have to go through what it isn't first, as Paul is writing in our text for today. Because love does not envy or boast. Love is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Love does not rejoice at wrongdoing. So what does this mean for our lives as God's people? Well, love is not jealous. It doesn't covet. It is actually putting up with what you have, being content. And love, it doesn't boast, which means it doesn't brag about itself. Because usually when we brag, we're trying to show off to make us look good instead of just doing what we're called to do, to care for other people. But at the same time, love is not arrogant. It doesn't have an ego. It doesn't need to be puffed up. Nor is it rude, which means it doesn't misbehave. You see, love does not insist on its own way. Love is not self-seeking, but selfless. Love is not irritable or resentful, which means love, it's not provoked. It isn't irritated. In fact, we often have needless anger, and that anger comes from our selfishness. But then it also isn't resentful. And this means that love does not keep a record of any wrongdoing, husbands and wives. It doesn't keep a record of what we have done or what other people have done. Because let's face it, we are all sinners. And if we are defined as a sinner, we sin. Who knew? Sinners sin. That's the truth. What that means, though, is that love is forgiving and it moves on. It looks somewhere else besides itself. And so love does not rejoice at wrongdoing. It does not celebrate unrighteousness. Again, the unfortunate great example is the abortion litigation that was passed into law the past couple of weeks. In fact, we saw that it was celebrated. I remember seeing a photo of New York after the decision had been made, where we saw people celebrating, giving each other hugs and high fives. Even the Empire State Building was lit up with special lights to celebrate this momentous occasion. Now, we have to admit at the same time, this is nothing new in history. Abortion has been taking place for eons. Yet it doesn't mean that we stop fighting against it. And so we see what the world truly rejoices in, and that's evil. What the world rejoices is atrocious. What our sinfulness rejoices in is also atrocious. And so what true love is not is evil. And so again, love is living content with what has been given to one by God, in body, mind, and soul, therefore. It even provides humility in order to see that it's not about us, not about me, myself, or I, but about serving others through our vocations, be it as a mother or a father, where we find the joy of children. Now, sometimes they are pain in the rear. Not gonna lie. My son Otto, don't let his smile fool you. When we get home, he's okay. But then he gets tired, he gets cranky, he really becomes selfish because it's about what he wants. But yet there's still joy that I find in my son when after the service he is running up to me in the back of the church building. I find joy when I walk through the door and my son screams, "Dada!" There is joy in children. But they're sinners too. And so that is why we bring them here to church, to hear the grace of God even given for them. Because even the word love here in the Greek, we've heard this, maybe you've heard this word before, but agape, which is godly love, sacrificial love, selfless love, where one gives himself up for the other. And so with that said, we find out then what Paul says love is. Love is patient and kind. You see, when we ask for patience, I don't think we understand what we're actually asking for. When we ask for patience, we are asking for the ability to have long suffering and able to endure our suffering that comes along in our lives. Now, some of you may may not have suffered through your life, and I'm not discounting that at all. But a lot of us have. I haven't met one yet who hasn't had something happen in their life that has caused no suffering. But with that said, then love is also caring and compassionate, for it looks not to any self-gratification, but for the betterment of our neighbor and our brothers and sisters. Therefore, love rejoices in the truth, rejoices in that truth of setting us free, joins to us what is fact, what is real. So love bears all things, which means love sustains even the most evil of times in world history, not to mention even our own lives. So love believes all things. It trusts in those things which are really trustworthy. In fact, love then hopes in all things. For love is confident in all the truly good things of God. And so then love endures all things. It is persistent. It stands strong. For love never ends, we are then told. And so love is eternal. It reaches beyond the boundaries of space and time. We find out love is the ultimate good. Love is not selfish. It does not seek to desire itself. In fact, John says this about love in his first epistle. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. But this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. And so what does this mean for us? Oh, what we first learn is that we have fallen short of this love. We have fallen short, and we have fallen short of true love, the real love, the love that is action, the love that serves another. In fact, we end up doing quite the opposite, it seems, all the time. As we look at our lives, we can see where we have fallen short time and time again. And even when we end up seeking revenge for what has been done against me, this doesn't necessarily involve hurting somebody physically. It's also that moment in which, you know what, I'm going to teach them a lesson. This is what they deserve. But typically, this is all done out of impatience, of letting any authority, even God himself, from taking the action he or whatever authority it is must take. Pardon me. Now, with that said, before I interrupted, you know, we are also to dispute any authority when it is truly wrong or is accomplishing evil. You know, great example again, abortion, the rights of life. We are to get behind that because God has defined what is truly valuable, that he values you. And so with all that, see, even though we act selfishly, we want what we want and we'll run over anyone who gets in the way. You know, it's all about what I want, no highway option. When we are continually self-serving, thinking of nothing but ourselves, there's still something that comes along nonetheless. Because we also find out what true love is when we look to Christ. You see, we find true love not in mankind, because if we did, we're lost. But if we look to Christ, to God incarnate in the flesh, we see true love for us, for you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, Christ truly loved you even to the point of sacrificing himself to death. You see, true love, it's not as clean as we would like it to be. Because true love is a body beaten and given as a ransom for many. True love is blood spilled and splashed all over for the sake of all people. Yes, through Christ's death, you are shown mercy, which is true love. He shows you true love in providing you with peace that surpasses all understanding, even for sinners, especially for sinners. Because true love, in the end, is forgiveness and righteousness. And guess what? It's yours. Christ has said it is so. For God showed us his true love when we didn't deserve it. None of us deserve anything that we get. We deserve nothing but hell and damnation. But God doesn't say that. That's why he sent Christ for you. You see, true love is found in Christ when he gave himself up as payment for all your debts, all your sins, all your trespasses. See, with true love, we don't accomplish anything on our own. Even true love must flow to us to be given to us in order that we can even do anything ourselves. Because we have to face the facts. True love is Christ. Christ who patiently endured beatings and floggings, being beaten to a pulp beyond semblance of a human being. Even the passion of the Christ, as blood as it is, doesn't give it justice. But you see, he is Christ who patiently carried his own instrument of death to a hill called Golgotha. True love is Christ who patiently endured the hammering of nails into his own flesh. True love is Christ who patiently waited on the cross to take his last breath. Because in the midst of this, do we ever hear Jesus say, "Oh, woe is me"? No, we actually hear quite the opposite. We hear no complaints, but only do we hear this: "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You see, this true love has provided for you the means of grace. All this was provided so that you would never have to taste the ultimate penalty for your sin, hell, eternal death, and torment. So that is love of Christ for you, dear brothers and sisters. You see, in the end, what is God but love? You're told that in 1 John chapter 4, that God is love. And so God is action. God is sacrificing himself for you. And so now we go loving. Because also John says in that same chapter, we love because he first loved us. And love, it goes beyond just telling somebody you love them. Let's face it. A husband who is beating his wife, yet continues to tell her that he loves her, really doesn't love her. You see, we must take action to show our love by being patient, by being kind, by reveling in the truth, by bearing all things, by believing all things, by hoping in all things, by enduring in all things. That is true love that we are now called to give to each other, that Christ has given to us to take with us to share. God is love, and so we love him by serving our neighbor, our brothers and sisters, without any thought of reward. And if God is love, we therefore receive his forgiveness even though we fall short. In fact, he forgives you when you commit sin, no matter how heinous you think it might be. And even get this, there is even forgiveness for those who aborts unborn human beings. Be they the mother, the physician, the politician, there is still forgiveness even for them. That's one thing the world cannot understand, that there is even forgiveness for those of whom we hate, who we think is evil. Because forgiveness is for those who are evil, who are by nature enemies of God. In fact, forgiveness and love are very much for you, for sinners. For all of you who fall short time and time again, you are forgiven. You who think that they don't even deserve forgiveness, it is given to you. You are forgiven. Because in the end, God gives it to us even though we don't deserve it. And that's good news for us. Because the fact remains, you are forgiven of all your sins. Not just, again, the ones that we think about, but also the ones we can't even think about. And the thing is, you don't have to let anybody tell you differently. Because God has said it is so. He has called you his child. He has called you forgiven. He has called you righteous. And therefore you are. That is the gift of love for you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. And so live with it. Knowing that when you do fall short, you can go to him. You can come here and receive that which you so desperately need. A good conscience with peace that surpasses all understanding. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.